Okay, I just did the standard greeting. But as soon as the Bluetooth signed on, it died. So, this is Phil Farron. Engine starts. And I am driving home. So, needless to say, I left my recorder at home today. I did just make a pretty stunning discovery, and it might be something that bodes well for me. There might be additional investigation to do. But once I put in the Ototo, kind of car stereo computer thingy, into my old Lincoln Continental, there was just most everything about it that was cool and fun and great and all that stuff, except for the fact I was having a lot of trouble making calls from the car. It was just ridiculous. I was having so much trouble making calls from the car. This has been a problem that's been going on for months. Well, today I left my recorder at home. So then I thought, well, that's fine. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to use my phone, and instead of putting it on the dash like I normally would do, I thought, well, I'll just put it in the phone holder. So I put it in the phone holder and then start up my little recorder, and I'm getting nothing. I mean, nothing out of it. And I'm like, what is going on? So, you know, I unplug it, unhook it from the Ototo. I do all that stuff. Still, nothing. And then I pull it out of the holder, and suddenly I have sound from it. And I'm going, wait a minute. So then I started looking around, and sure enough, the microphone for the phone is on the bottom of the phone. And the phone holder has a little thing to catch the bottom of the phone right where the microphone is, and it's completely covering up the microphone. So that's not good. So I am hooked up to the Bluetooth at this point. So I am hooked up through the Ototo. And I'm still registering a lot, and now I'm wondering what happens if I plug my cable in. So sorry, I'm going to experiment on you all a little bit here. I'm going to plug my cable in, and we're going to see what happens here, if I can do this while I'm driving. So here we go. Mic check. Hey, it looks like it still has... Okay, good. So... looks like it's still... All right, well, that's fine. Hopefully, I won't have to re-record this. So anyways, it's been a good week. Now that I have figured out why my phone is not working. It's interesting, when I try to go through Teams, my audio still doesn't work through Bluetooth, and I have to take my phone off Bluetooth. I have to tell Teams, no, I don't want to use Bluetooth. And because I would guess that Teams is trying to use my microphone on the Ototo, which apparently is not good. So once I take it off there, though, I actually can be heard. So, you know, we're making progress. Life, it's just a day at a time. So anyways, I don't have any notes this week. I've been scampering along trying to get some things done so that I could get some other things in the slot. And last night, I was getting towards the end of all that, and I was getting tired, and I thought, you know what? We'll just wait and see what shows up today. So, and honestly, not much has shown up today. So I did have an interesting conversation with a friend. This morning that I'll talk about a little bit, because that was a pretty fascinating conversation. And I don't know, after we kind of went around and around the barn, if either of us decided that, you know, we had different opinions on it. But it was really interesting to have the conversation. So we'll get back to that in a minute. Work has been fine. This is my last work day for several days to come now, because I'm not in tomorrow, and then all next week the building is closed, and so I have all next week off, and then we're back in on the 30th and the 31st, and then we have that Wednesday off, the 1st, and then be back to work on the 2nd, and then of course it'll be the weekend again, so there you go. So next couple of weeks here will be pretty thin. I did, over this last week, get my read-through for book 21 done. Got all the files prepared. Finished up the last details of rolling out a production version last night. All I have left is I ordered the production copies. I have the burps for some reason, or the hiccups for some reason. I have all of the production copies ordered. They should be in first couple of days in January. Once they get in, I'll mail those out, and then done and done for book 21. So that's all good. Hello, check. Okay, there it is. Because all of a sudden it didn't look like it was recording much. So that's all good. Getting ready to go back to book 22. And I will probably have Aiden at least a couple of days next week, and probably a couple of days the following week, because Springfield Public Schools are down, which will be just fine. What I'll use those days for is the read-through of the first half of book 22 that I finished reading. So that'll give me plenty of time to do that, because all I do is sit on the couch next to Aiden as he watches TV, and that's our day. We make bacon. And eat bacon. So that'll all be fine. And, you know, that means that basically there's 2.5 books to go of the 24 book series. So, yay, 2.5 books to go. So that's all good. And what else? Oh, costumes. Costumes are going well. Tomorrow is Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. It is one of the most uncomfortable costumes that I have, because I turn one leg into a leg lamp, and I bought the high heel shoe for that. I didn't buy a high heel. Stilettos, once you get up to 4-inch heels, man, forget it. They are just murder on the feet. So I bought like a 2.5-inch heel for this, but what I didn't do right is I bought a rounded toe, as opposed to a pointy toe. And the great thing about a pointy toe is that your foot wedges down into it, and it stops your foot from sliding all the way to the end, so the ends of your toe are not banging into the shoe the whole time. But it was weird when I was trying it all on. There was this note that I had left myself for tape your inner three toes. And I was like, what? I don't even remember putting that note on there. But when I was trying it on, I thought, well, shoot, let's try this. And so I did that. I taped my inner three toes and then put all everything else on and then stepped into the shoe. And I thought, you know, that's not too bad. So I don't know if I had a divine inspiration or somebody told me to do that and I wrote it down. I don't know how I got there. I did have a great moment with the costumes on Saturday. Took a buddy to breakfast, and I was talking about a tell a fairy tale day that I was working on, and I was thinking about doing it with the Matrix and turning that into a fairy tale, and and then getting some stuff and trying to reproduce the visual effects. Like, I ordered this invisible chair contraption where supposedly you can just sit down on it and it will, as you sit, these legs come out from your legs that are strapped to your legs, and then you can actually sit. And I thought, you know, with an overcoat on, I could actually sit, and then I could maybe even lean back to do that scene in The Matrix where Neo is leaned back and his arms are flailing. So I was kind of working on that, but I wasn't really happy about the fact that the costume is just black. You know, it's just like black bodysuit, black overcoat, whatever. And So I was talking to my buddy on Saturday about it, and I was talking about wanting to do a modern fairy tale. And he said, well, honestly, when I do a modern fairy tale, I immediately think of The Princess Bride. And I thought, oh, right, Princess Bride. And I told him, that has a lot of possibilities, because there's all kinds of accents I could do, and the costumes would be much more interesting. And so then, you know, that got me thinking. I thought, I'm going to think about that. And I got to thinking, and that's so much better. It's just so much better, because The Princess Bride is so cute. So then I've kind of been working along trying to get that designed. And the first thing was going to be, well, what am I going to wear? Am I going to wear a costume from The Princess Bride, or am I going to do something else? Pretty quickly, I thought, no, what I should do is put on the play. I should tell the fairy tale, because it's Tell a Fairy Tale Day. So then I thought, oh, how will I tell the fairy tale? I know what I could do. I'm going to build a little puppet stage that I can hang around my neck and just build it out of foam, and, you know, get ChatGPT to show me puppet stages, and I'll just design one of those based on that. And then we'll just go from there. And as soon as I was thinking about using ChatGPT, I thought, you know, I bet that I can just go to ChatGPT and say, convert the Princess Bride movie into a fairy tale that I can tell. And, you know, it's unbelievable. And so I did, I asked it to, sure enough, it just goes boom, and it converts. And I said, and include popular quotes from the movie. And as soon as you do that, it just goes pow, and there it is. I mean, it's just within almost instantaneous. I mean, it's really, it's amazing. And it did pretty good. I'm going to edit a little bit, but it gave me most of the structure. I'm going to add in a couple of quotes, because it didn't add in any good quotes from Miracle Max or from his wife. You know, I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. You know, it didn't give us those. And it certainly didn't give us the lady who is denouncing Buttercup in the one scene where she's having the dream. You know, boo, boo, boo to the queen of putrescence. Bow down, boo, you know. All that stuff. So I want to do that one. So that should be really fun. And then I got to thinking, okay, wait a minute. You're going to do a puppet stage. So why don't you just have ChatGPT do the images for all the backdrops for you? And then I was thinking, well, I can get action figures. And then I was like, well, if you're doing a puppet stage anyways, and ChatGPT is doing the backdrops, why don't you just make little paper cutouts that you can put on sticks, and you can just animate them by bouncing them up and down with your hands. And so then I've just been going out to ChatGPT and say, create an image of a paper puppet of Vicini from The Princess Bride. And it's amazing, because it knows what Vicini looks like from The Princess Bride. It knows what Prince Humperdinck looks like. The one that really amused me is I had it do Miracle Max. And it was fine. It was something I could use. I'm like, hey, that'll work. And then I said, okay, I need a, you know, paper puppet of Miracle Max's wife. And it comes back and says, making a paper puppet of Miracle Max's wife, Valerie. And I went, hey, I didn't even know her name was Valerie. And it gave me something I could use. And it's like, hey. Every once in a while, it gave me something that was more like 3D, where the head was slightly bigger than the body and it was kind of leaned forward. And I liked that, but I haven't been able to figure out what the magic combination of prompts were to give me that distortion. I don't know if that distortion is, you know, if that, it's like a top-down perspective. I'm not really sure how to tell ChatGPT that I want that distortion. If I could get it to do all of them that way, then I would use that as well. So the idea at this point is to make myself a puppet stage, do the backdrops with ChatGPT, print them on 8.5 by 11 paper, photo paper, so it's, you know, the color is good. Mount them so that I can switch them. I'll build the puppet stage to where I can just pick up one and slide it in front, you know, and just kind of sequence through them that way. And then I'll have little wings on the puppet stage where I can store all the little puppets and then just bring them out and do that thing. And I'll just read the script as a narrator until I get to the quotes, and then I can, you know, do the voices. And I'm even wondering, we'll see about this last part, but I'm even wondering about making a mechanism that has like a big paper scroll on it and kind of mounting it on my head, maybe making like a turban, an ornate turban that has a mechanism in it to where the two scrolls are on either side of my head that I can scroll and then just put full character faces on those, either with ChatGPT or something else, so that I can do the narration stuff and then I can twist it and then the character image will slide in front of my face. Then I can do the mimicking of that character for the famous line, and then I can scroll it past and go back to the narrator face. So we'll see. This is firing off mid-February, so I have a couple of weeks to play here. I'm going to use the rat catcher's costume, so I have most of it under control, but I have ordered some turbans, some red and gold turbans from Temu for, you know, $12 and $7, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to knick-knack those up, you know, put a little razzle-dazzle in them, put some feathers on it, get a little, you know, jeweled something or other to put on it to kind of turn myself into, you know, some kind of storyteller, mid-earth storyteller. I think it's going to be darling, and I think it's going to be really cute, and I think people will enjoy it. So there you go. As far as the conversation that I had this morning, we were talking about an observation that I think I mentioned last week, where someone asked me when I had the time traveler costume on, you know, what year would you go back to? And I commented that I wasn't sure I would want to go back to a year at this very point, or would want to go forward in time, that I was really interested in being alive right now, because we are in the midst of disruptive change. And I don't even want to flash forward to see how it works out. I want to live through this, because I just think it's going to be so fascinating to see how everything works out with this new administration and the people they've appointed. Are the Republicans are they going to hold the line and approve the Trump nominees? You know, are they, you know, what is going to happen with this? And so I was talking to my buddy about that, and he was talking about change, and he was talking about, you know, his concern that maybe some of these people that have been appointed to the cabinet, he said, there's no question that this cabinet is the most prosperous, let's see, did he use the word prosperous? He meant prosperous, that this cabinet was the most well-to-do cabinet that there has ever been. And I was like, yep, that's true. Because, you know, when you have two really rich guys who are working with the Department of Government Efficiency, and I realize they're not cabinet offices, but a whole bunch of the other people that have been nominated for cabinet, they're all very well-to-do. And, of course, his concern was, are they just going to be focused on their own interest? And so we talked a lot about that kind of thing, and, you know, the skill set that this cabinet will have is just astonishing. They are people who have actually done really amazing things in life. And, you know, just one would hope that they would really love America enough that they would want to focus on those things, and they wouldn't just be concerned with, you know, how can I improve my own setting in life? So I will see. We'll see what happens there. And then we wandered into the topic of CEOs of companies. And my friend was expressing his valid concerns about CEOs that make 1,000 times more than, you know, their lowest paid workers. And that led into a whole discussion about free markets and remunerations and people being trapped in jobs and, you know, not making enough to where they can get ahead and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we had, you know, quite an interesting discussion about life and about what is the approach, what is the response. I was getting my mail there. What is the approach, what is the response, what patterns should we be engaged in? We got into topics of what's the responsibility of the church in this, what's the responsibility of government, and, you know, it's, last week, and the week before last, I had encountered somebody at Walmart who definitely really struggling, you know, had a problem with her car. They were down to one car, her and her boyfriend and her daughter, and she was having to get up at, you know, really early morning to where she could get him to work so she could get back to work. And, you know, then long nights where she had to go over to pick him up and then get him back to the house. And then, of course, you know, it's way dark and way late by the time, you know, just a lot of things, financially. And, you know, I was listening to her and I, you know, I was sympathizing with her. And when we were done, okay, I'm going to go ahead and shut off the car and we're going to hopefully see that this is going to keep recording. Mic check. Okay, so it didn't keep recording. So I'll just piece these two together. Stop it. And I'm going to unplug this. Okay, so I'm going to have to piece those two together. But I didn't feel anything in that moment of needing to step in. I had a passing thought of, you know, is this something that I need to help with? But then I kind of revisited it and I just didn't get any confirmation. And then the next week, I was talking to another friend at Walmart who works really hard and she looked really discouraged. And we got to talking and, I mean, she has a lot of struggles, you know, a lot of people that she's supporting. She works 2 jobs trying to stay ahead. And when I walked away from that conversation with her, there was definitely the impulse that you need to do something about this. And so I did, you know, I went to the credit union, got some money and did do that. But in my conversation with my buddy today, it really was about, you know, I personally don't care what the ratio is between a CEO's salary and the lowest paid person in a given company. Because I'm assuming that the CEO is making that money because they are bringing something profound to the company by their activities. And if they're not, I would expect them to get fired at some point. You know, and if they are the founder of the company, well, and, you know, a majority owner, they should be able to vote whatever salary they want, you know. And if that damages the culture of the company, then it damages the culture of the company. And that's something that they have to deal with. So, and if they don't treat their employees right, then, you know, employees will quit and go someplace else. And in the process of having that conversation, my friend was saying, well, but there's some people that can't afford to go someplace else. They can't find something else. And my response was, well, I'm not sure that's true. They may think that's true, but for me, what it comes down to is what story are they telling themselves? And what voices are they listening to internally? And my friend came up with a name for that, that you are either listening to the internal voices or the external voices. And for me, of course, it's not only just listening to internal voices, you're listening to either the flesh or the spirit within you. And it's my opinion that God is speaking to everyone all the time. And if people will learn to hear his voice, as opposed to the voice of destruction within them, that he will guide them and give them a path out of whatever situation they are in, and bring people into their lives that will help them move out of that path. And, you know, my buddy and I this morning discussed this goal and responsibility that we should have as Christians of keeping ourselves aware of the plights of those around us, and when the Spirit guides us, and honestly, only when the Spirit guides us, should we move forward and try to stand in the gap for friends that might be in trouble? And that if we could do that, then we might be able to provide extra support so that the individuals who are struggling can move forward and move up. And I think that's a really important perspective to take, because I have no power over what a CEO gets paid. I have no understanding of who that CEO is. And if I'm just living my life looking at things of which I have no information, and then churning and being upset about those things, that's not of the spirit. That's of the flesh. Because I'm judging and condemning something that I have no information on, and therefore it has to be of the flesh. That can't be being done in a spirit of love. And so it's more important for me to live within the spirit, live within kindness, live within responsible love towards others, and make myself available to provide some help for others at the right moments, as guided by the Spirit, to stand in the gap and cause that to be a positive influence. Dustin, the young man who lives in our rock house, he's starting in to his paramedic training in the spring. I think in the winter coming up, he's getting ready to start classes. He is there in part because Net and I have been available to provide additional help in the corners that would have caused him to need to be missing work much more, that would have been, you know, thrown him out of work. Because, you know, Aiden, sweet little guy, and occasionally he's, you know, he has a bad day and someone has to go pick him up from school. And the fact that we're nearby means that, you know, we can go over and we can provide that little extra support, you know, a little more of a safety net so that Dustin can keep go ahead and earn his money and earn his experience. And he can not only first get his EMT certification back so he can be an EMT, but then also be able to take his requisite classes that he needs for his requirements and be able to pass those and now start his paramedic training. And it is our intention, Net and I's, to be that little bit of safety and support so that Dustin will have the opportunity to move forward, or at least to try to move forward. Now, so far, he's been doing great. He's just been doing great. Whereas when we got started, he expressed a concern to me that, you know, he wasn't that good of a test taker, and he wasn't. And I just told him, I said, Dustin, I said, oh, just a second, a minute. How's it going? How's it going? Thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's
the
last three.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you. Amber is taking some of our pillows that were thrown away from downstairs out to the garbage thing. Anyways, so, you know, I feel honored and privileged to be able to walk with Dustin through these things and to celebrate with him when he's moving forward, even if that provides some inconvenience along the way, because my schedule has to change. But the great thing is I'm going to halftime in July of next year. And so we basically only have six and a half months left of, you know, kind of trying to figure out what needs to be done when. And then once I go to halftime in July, I'll be more available to, you know, watch over Aiden at the right time so that Dustin can go on and do things. And as part of that, he wrote me week before last, and he said, hey, I'm looking on getting scheduled for my practicums. And he said, there's some of them that are going to get scheduled in Branson. And he said, those are going to be the type of thing where I'm going to need to be down there at 7 o'clock, and then I'm not going to get off till 7 o'clock, and then I'm going to have to drive back up from Branson. And I just told him, I said, listen, buddy, we're going to make it work. Okay, we're going to make it work. And so, you know, as I was talking to my buddy about this whole thing about who makes what and how much do they make and are these CEOs supposed to be getting that much money, none of that makes any sense trying to answer. The only thing that makes sense trying to answer is, of the people who are around me, how can I assist? You know, am I listening for God to say, yeah, so-and-so, they're going to need a support structure for X number of years or for X number of months because they're trying to move forward into this thing that will benefit them in the long run. And it is my prayer and my fervent hope that step by step, God helps Dustin to get through all of this training. And then after all this training, he wants to go in to become a respiratory therapist. And that respiratory therapy is at the level of a registered nurse, and they make just as much. And I think that's what it's called. And so I want to be a part of this journey for him. And if that helps him get there, you know, that's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous because then he can take it from there, you know, and he'll be making enough that he can afford, if he needs someone extra to watch over Aiden, he can do that. And so it's really an interesting journey to be on with him. And it's an honor to be on that journey with him. And, you know, if we could just encourage more people to reach out to others and provide that safety net and provide that help, because there's just so many people around us that have been raised in broken families, you know, in with single mothers, single dads, with people who just can't give any more support to their children because of their own financial troubles. I just think it's so important for the opportunities. And I can't obviously tell anyone else what to do, but it's really been a high honor to assist. And, you know, we'll be praying for Dustin as he moves through his classes and as he studies to try to find some way to support him and walk alongside him and allow him to move forward and move up and attain the goals that he wants to attain in life and attain the career that he wants to attain. And to stand beside him no matter what. And I just personally think that's a whole lot more important than griping about how much CEOs make or how unfair a given business is or how the government needs to do more of this or how expensive healthcare is. I just think it's really critically important for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to be aware of those around us and to listen carefully for God's voice and for his encouragement of us helping others. I don't think we should just extend ourselves to everyone around us who needs help. I think we should be very aware of those who need help and then also be very careful to listen carefully for God's voice and to make a decision based on what the Spirit tells us of what we may have the opportunity to serve others. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.